Hello there. Thanks so much for joining me today. I'm Colleen Klimczak. I'm an organizational and productivity coach and a certified professional organizer. I own Peace of Mind Professional Organizing, LLC. Since 2003, I've been helping my clients live better lives through organizing and organizational and productivity coaching. I support my clients and my community with coaching, in-person and virtual organizing, my weekly podcast called Your Organized Life with Colleen Klimczak, a free weekly virtual productivity session called Finish Line Friday, a free weekly email newsletter, and regular content on Facebook and Instagram. I also offer presentations and professional development to groups and companies. And coming soon, I will be launching a membership circle, and I'm really excited about it, and I will tell you more soon. Want to finish strong with me this week? Join me for Finish Line Friday every Friday morning at 9 a.m. Central for a two-hour productivity session. Drop me an email at colleen@peaceofmindpo.com for the Zoom Room link, or follow the Zoom Room link on my Instagram and Facebook pages. So welcome to Your Organized Life, episode 69. When naming this article and episode, because of course, all of my episodes are also newsletter and blog articles, I tried to put catawampus in the topic, as in when it all goes catawampus. And what that means is just it all went sideways. But the SEO score on my blog on WordPress did not think that that was a good idea. So we're going to stick with how to get back on track. I was a guest on the EP podcast episode that dropped last Tuesday, March 12th. I think its title was Now It's in a Bucket.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, thanks, Chris. See, now it's in a bucket. And so
it was referring to the fact that my daughter had an appendicitis.
Yeah.
And the first thing that the surgeon said when he came into the room after the surgery was, the appendix is now in a bucket.
But she isn't.
And she's not.
Right, most important.
That's how he said it.
Yeah.
Because Ms. Lanuti, the appendix is in a bucket. She's not. And we're closing her up. And I was okay. Like, well, that's good that she's not in a bucket.
There you go. These are the things that we want to know as parents, right? Oh, my gosh. So we recorded on Monday, March 11th, because that is the day that I record my episode. And I was a guest on the EP podcast because Chris, my producer, thank you, had a family emergency over the weekend with his 18-year-old daughter. So she had an emergency appendicitis or appendectomy the Friday before. And she's fine. She's healing well. I should have started all of this with everybody's fine, right? We should always lead with that. And everybody's fine in my house too. Everybody's okay. We will start with that. But last week, we talked through, first of all, the situation and that it was crazy for the family. Totally get that. And then the question that Chris asked me was, after the fact, what do you do to pick up the pieces, right? So you've been through this dramatic and potentially traumatic situation, and what do you do to get back on track? So in Chris's situation, he has children other than the post-surgical one to take care of. He needs to take care of his daughter while she recovers. Anything that he had planned for that day and also for the days to follow obviously just went poof out the window because that's what the situation required. So we're going to do what we need to do because it needs done. And we're going to do it because our kids win and because we love them. And I do really love you. My children don't listen to my podcast, but their friends do. So there you go. But it's the truth, right? We're always going to do what we need to do to take care of our people. And that's the way it works. And then we pick up the pieces and we get back to normal and we get back to work. So here's the twist. We recorded at noon last Monday because we usually record at noon on Mondays. We have a system for these things and everything else. I am still a week behind.
You are.
I am.
But it's okay.
But it was almost done. If I didn't have other things this morning, man, I'm so close. But now I've already written it for next week. So we're good with that. So my college-age son was home for his spring break last week. And there was an incident. He lost consciousness in the kitchen. His answer to most people is he never got to eat that bowl of soup. That was, he's laughing it off.
Like, I like that one.
I know, right? Yeah. He never got to eat the bowl of soup. So I'll just leave it at that. It was super scary. I think more so for the parents, right, in the situation than the young adult.
Yeah, the worst thing in the world is like 6 o'clock in the morning, Dad, I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
That's how I woke up.
Yeah.
And you hear it in their voice.
Hear the thud.
And you're
we
like,
didn't hear anything.
Yeah.
We heard the thud.
Oh, you heard
when
the
he
thud.
Hit the, when
oh, that's,
he hit
that's
the floor.
Terrible.
Yeah, it was horrifying. So he ended up going to the ER in an ambulance. So a shout out to the Evergreen Park Fire Department, the EMTs that we called, the EMTs that arrived when we called 911 were awesome. and competent and kind. And my galley kitchen has never seemed smaller than when I have four professionals and equipment in my kitchen. But they were amazing. They took care of business. They took care of my son. They loaded him up and we went to the hospital. So one thing that you mentioned last week, Chris, is that your 18-year-old was still eligible for the pediatric ER.
Which is awesome.
Right? And if you have to choose, like this is, we talked about this exactly 1 week ago. And if you have to choose that the pediatric ER is a better place for a young person than the regular ER.
Especially in a level one trauma center on the south side of Chicago, there's a different group of people in the adult ER than the pediatric one.
You are not kidding. But I found it so surreal that within 8 hours of having that conversation with you, I found myself in the front seat of an ambulance while they unloaded my 19-year-old in the ambulance bay next to the door labeled pediatric ER.
There you go.
At Christ Hospital. And when you show up in an ambulance, you get really quick service.
Yes.
I do not recommend it to anybody because it sucks. But so never in no imagination of my day could I have foreseen that I would be confirming the information that you shared that day within 8 hours of recording that episode. But there we were. And to repeat, he's fine. My son's fine. And I made sure to ask his permission to write and talk about this. He's okay. And he was okay with that too. So let me make the rest of this very long story short. We were there for more than 24 hours. We arrived around 7:30 Monday. They ran tests, started the admission process around 11 p.m. He was finally discharged from the ER at 8 p.m. on Tuesday, and they had not found him a bed for 24 hours. So he just hung out in the ER. And when you're in the ER, you gain perspective. Obviously, there are a whole lot of other people that are having a much worse night than we were. And my son's okay. So simple things. My son was in the ER, but he had a room with a door. A lot of people didn't. There were people in the hallway all night long. He didn't have a bathroom or a shower, and I didn't sleep at all because the room is not set up with a chair for a non-patient to sleep in. I never pulled an all-nighter in college. That didn't happen until I was a parent. Like, yeah, so there it was. We had family and friends texting and checking in on us with offers of support and assistance if we needed anything. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for Greg, my husband, so that we could tag team and I could go home for a few hours of sleep when he came back in first thing Tuesday morning. Because we didn't want to miss any of the doctors coming in for consultation. We had no idea how long that my son was going to be there. So we just didn't want to miss anything.
And they don't care because he's 19. Don't. I learned that.
No.
I walked out for 5 minutes with my daughter and I walked in and they were in there giving her details and giving her consent papers. And they're like, who are you? I'm like, I'm her father. And they're like, yeah, well, she's 18. So you don't matter.
Yeah, he's 19. Yeah, like that's
the
answer.
They would not care if you weren't there. Nope. They would have just moved ahead.
Yeah. And so,
and that's something to get used to.
We didn't want to miss any of that. And he didn't want us to, but like we knew that we needed to just be there. Right. Like that was just the answer. And I hadn't slept, so I needed a little sleep. But as Chris mentioned last week, once the dust settles, right, after all this happens, then what? When you look around your house and you realize that all your routines that you normally have that support your life were completely abandoned for at least a couple of days, right? So Chris's question last week and what I will answer this week is, where do you start? Where? So I've talked about emergencies lately. I had a recent surgery as well. 5 weeks ago, I had surgery on my nose, but it was planned. You know, it was February 13th, but I'd known about it since the end of November. It really was not news. It ended up being more complex and more invasive, and I had a lot more downtime and more healing that I needed to do. But again, that wasn't news. The schedule was already clear. I had no expectations of myself for that time anyway. So it wasn't an emergency. It might have been a hassle, but it wasn't a crisis, right? I won't say it was fun, but it wasn't an emergency. It was just a hassle. But trips to the ER for your daughter and her appendix, or for my son in the ER for 24 hours and a whole lot of diagnostics to determine what's going on and what to follow up on, those are emergencies. They both have had good outcomes so far. They have both had good outcomes so far. I know it could be worse. Oh boy, do I know it could have been worse. But so far, so good, right? So back to the question. Once the emergency has passed, now what? What do we do to get back on track? So I came home at 8:30 Tuesday morning after taking my husband out at the hospital, having not slept for 27 hours. I set my phone and my Apple Watch, which were both dead, to charge. I took a shower, I brushed my teeth, I had a really big glass of water, and I slept for a couple hours. Then I got up, made sure things were taken care of, sent a few emails, took a shower again, got dressed, grabbed a protein shake, and headed back to the hospital. Because it's what you got to do. On Tuesday night, when we were finally discharged, we asked the questions again. First things first, right? We're headed home. Does anybody need to eat? We can pick up something on the way. All right, I'm going to drop you guys off and go to the pharmacy for my son's prescriptions. Do we need anything grocery-wise? No? Okay. Luckily, we had just had a party and our fridge was full of party food, so. Everybody was comfortable and happy. Next was starting a load of laundry, unpacking the bag from the hospital, right? And then making sure that maintenance had been occurring. So loaded the dishwasher, brought in the mail, making sure there were no packages out front on the steps. So none of this is new. I think that was the point that I made to Chris last week on his podcast. We don't need to do new stuff. We take a minute and we remember what our routines are and that our routines are there to help us make sure that our needs are being consistently met. That's what routines do for us. So first things first, we check in on our needs. Needs are food, clothing, shelter, safety, warmth, right? The basic bottom level of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. We check in on those and we make sure that all of those are functioning. So last week, when we were talking about your situation, Chris, I said, you know, you had mentioned you grab some food, maybe place a grocery order, like, you know, let the dog out. Basic.
Handed the other teenager $20 and said, I'm not making lunches for the next couple of days,
nope.
So buy it in the cafeteria. Things like that.
You do what you got to do.
Right.
And we start with needs, right? So, okay, you know, for you guys, making sure that everybody had school clothes for the next day, making sure that your patient was comfortable, you know, like all of those things. We got to start with what's in front of us. And so once we finally got home, you know, and we made sure that all those other things were done, it was after 8 p.m. on that Tuesday night. And I got to tell you, another need that was happening very rapidly for all of us was sleep.
You didn't get a lot of sleep. Oh. I just heard your timeline. You had to be exhausted.
I think I'm finally caught up. And my son was exhausted.
Yeah.
It was not.
It takes a while. After something like that, you're tired.
You're exhausted emotionally, but also I didn't sleep.
You're fit, and it takes a while to catch up on it.
I think
the entire week after her thing, I was exhausted. And I didn't even spend the overnight. They kick out appendix patients so fast.
You said that.
Yeah.
We stayed longer than you did, and she had surgery.
It was a whole day, but she was out at 9 p.m. We got in there at 7 a.m., and 9 p.m. she was out and still drugged up from the surgery and in my car, and I'm like, the modern world is weird.
But
I was still tired because then you get home, you're up. If she needs to go to the bathroom, I'm up. I'm getting her up. I'm moving her at 2 o'clock in the morning. So I'm not getting any sleep.
Solid sleep.
I'm broken. Mm-hmm. And that took me a week to just get back to normal.
It took us all.
Yeah.
It really did. I know, and I don't always sleep solid. I have been this week because you don't get to just replace that easily.
But when you're tired, you're stupider too.
You are.
Like you become just dumb and you're incapable of performing basic tasks. And then you do dumb things and you're like, how did I do that? Like, I mean, you do some
weird things. Oh, I
know
exactly how I did it.
Yeah. And just a little side note, not to hijack your show.
Yeah,
but
please.
A couple days after we get home, the 16-year-old comes down with an upper respiratory thing.
Oh, no.
And he has asthma. So I have to take him to the doctor. The doctor's like, steam showers, young man. Whenever you're having a problem, you start coughing like crazy. So he doesn't want to wake me up that night when he starts coughing. So he goes and takes a steam shower at 1 o'clock in the morning. He doesn't run the vent because he's steaming up the bathroom,
right,
which is great. And then he doesn't want to wake anybody up or stay up to actually run the vent to get all the steam out. So he just walks out of the bathroom and goes to bed.
No.
A cloud of steam moves throughout the house and collects outside of the fire alarm.
Of course it does.
At 1:30 in the morning, the first night that I was finally getting sleep.
Oh, gosh.
The fire alarm goes off.
Yeah.
First, nobody wakes up except for me. Whole house would have died. All the alarms are going off, and I come running out at 2 in the morning thinking I've left something
right,
like, on
because
the stove
we expect that we did stupid
how tired
things.
I am. Yes. So, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So I think there's also an expectation that when it rains, it pours.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't care how organized you are.
Oh, hello. I've left my phone. Like, I've had to walk back in the house 2 or 3 times in the last, like, week because the routines I have in place when we don't have the bandwidth, there you go. You know,
we'll coin that phrase, trademark
pushing together.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Brain width.
But that's the, like, I do not want to be. So the joke is, you know, don't have apparate heavy machinery.
Yeah.
You know, they mean a car, but I always think tractor or like, you know, a tank. My brother was like, oh, yeah, like a tank. Like, none of us should be operating heavy machinery on this lack of sleep. Like, just, oh, my gosh. So the point is, and thank you. I really hope that everything ended up all right.
She's
oh my
back
gosh.
To school today.
Oh, good. Yeah,
she is a walking stick. Good. She looks like Moses.
Good for her.
Over at Mother Macaulay right now, walking
smacking
through the
people
hallways.
Around.
Yeah. I told her, I'm like, tell everybody it's your shillelagh.
Paving her own
after
way.
After the holiday. And then if, you know, somebody gets out of line, just bop them. So, yeah.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, and my son is back. Classes are back in session today. So that was a big leap of faith. Big deep breath and a leap of faith that he returned to school.
Well, she can't lift anything over a half gallon of milk right
now.
So I'm in the office and she's all nervous about like, how am I going to get around? I can't carry my books, all this stuff. And I'm like, I'm sure they know how to handle this. They've done this before at the school. And she didn't believe me. And while she's talking to the dean and the dean is telling her, you can access the elevator. We're going to have somebody carry your stuff. And they're going through it. Another girl comes in on crutches. She's got the same problem.
Oh.
So they were dealing, like, and I looked at her, I'm like, see, this is normal.
They're pros. This is what they do.
There's always kids hurting themselves.
It's kind of cold comfort, like, but it's nice to know that they've already thought of all of those things, right?
They got
those
a whole
are
plan
routines
in place.
As well, right? Yeah. Okay, so there you go. Thank you for looping that back. So all there you go. The point is having routines to manage these things, because then when our brains are tired and our bodies might be tired, we have those to rely on. We don't have to create new. We just have to get back to what we already know and enact those things that we've already put in place over time that are there to support us and let them keep supporting us, right? So we need to start with our needs. We need to start with what is right in front of us, right? We don't need to create something new. We just need to get back to our routines that are there to support us. And that, my friends, is how to get back on track. So supporting us around whatever it is we want to accomplish is what productivity coaching is all about. If it's time to invest in yourself and explore coaching for organizing and productivity, I would love to hear from you. Drop me a line via email at Colleen@peaceofmindpo.com or message me through any of my social media platforms like Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn. Thank you so much, and I will talk to you next week.